Hi. Here we are. Cold open today, as I warned Jenny. No intro on today's episode of the program because we're doing some different stuff here.
We are.
I mean, it's actually more of certain areas of the existing show.
Yes.
It's not really different. It's just more of the stuff and kind of the direction that the show has been going. So we're going to talk about that first.
Okay.
Give you a little insight into what's going on here with the Junkin' with Jenny podcast. It's not going away.
No.
It's just about 23 episodes now in.
Yes.
Whenever you do a show, you kind of get your grounds. You kind of decide, okay, this is where this is going. We like this. We don't like that. Some shows never do that, and they just run into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But having done this for a while, it's like, okay, here's what I like here. And this is what you're saying, too. Here's what I like, and here's what we're going to do now, Jenny.
I think you're going to focus on the areas that we are strongest.
Yeah. And that I think you guys have been responding to the most as well. Mm-hmm. So the podcast still going out every week. The live video on Thursday night, we're still doing that every week. All that stays the same. So you don't have to do anything. There's no unsubscribing or anything like that. But you are going to see a name change. And that's what I want to talk about right away in the episode today. So in the coming week or two, when you're like, what is that? That's what it is, just so you are aware. In the next couple of weeks here, and the different channels, because there's so many different places the show goes through.
Sure.
YouTube, the podcast feeds, wherever you're getting that from, all over the place, it will all be changing over as it happens in due time, as will the website as well. For now, junkinwithjenny.com is still live, and that's where things are going to be posted until I switch it all over. But we're going to be changing the name of the show to reflect more of what we're doing, and that is focusing on rooms.
Yes.
And room design and tips for making a space better. And that's where a confused room comes into play. This is graphic. Confused room is what we are going to be calling this program here going forward. And
yes.
The website will be going live, and it'll be the same place you can see before and after pictures. That's a lot of what we're going to be doing, is a lot of before and after stuff, mm-hmm. Where you guys send us a picture of the room that you're confused on, that you're like, what do I do with this room, with this space? And then if we use it on the show, you end up getting a full 3D digital makeover, essentially,
yeah.
Of your space.
To give you ideas.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to do on the show as our main piece of content. That's what we do with our own spaces as our content of the projects that we work on here. But we can now do that digitally with some of the software we have for you guys, too. So the website is confusedroom.com. It is not live yet, though. So if you go there, it's just going to get like a blank page. But that is what the website is going to be. So I'm not going to put the URL on the screen yet because it's not quite live. But it will be in the coming days. You're going to see the feed of on Facebook change from saying Junkin' with Jenny to Confused Room. The podcast feed, name change. Still the same show, though. It's us.
Yeah.
But that's what you're going to be seeing going forward.
And it doesn't have to be necessarily an indoor room. It can be an outdoor space.
Mm-hmm.
It can be the front of your house. It can be the backyard. It could be the back deck area. It could be any of those places. It's just an area that you need a little guidance or a fresh perspective or a fresh set of eyes taking a look.
And that's exactly what it is. So today's episode, we have three different rooms that we're going to be showing to you, some before pictures, and then in-depth 3D renderings of what we would do if it were our space to recreate. And that's what we're going to be doing every single week, probably more than three rooms as well. It was a little bit slower this week, getting used to the new software.
Learning software. Yeah.
But we got it. I successfully did two of the rooms. You did all three.
Right. So each room will have both your take on it and my take on
it. Yes. Exactly. So providing we both have time to do all of the rooms.
But yeah, that's true.
That will be the goal. So it's going to be cool. We're looking forward to the new looks of the show and some of this new stuff. I think you're going to like it as we kick off today's episode. If you're listening to the podcast, the website, confusedroom.com. Also, if you're getting it this week, junkinwithjenny.com will have the same content on until everything flips over. So you can watch all of this and see all of it. Subscribe on YouTube, subscribe, you know, obviously on the podcast feeds to see all of it as well.
So one thing we will not get rid of is our creative juices.
Or our cat.
Or our cat, but creative juices mostly.
Yeah, creative juices is going to stay too. So creative juices. I was looking at one of the interesting 3D graphics today, because I'm amazed as what you can get out there in 3D graphics for creating this stuff. And I kid you not, there was like a glass jar and somebody had like, it looked like a cat was stuck in it. I'm like, what is this?
Did you search for that?
No, I was looking for accent pieces and it came up. I'm going to just incorporate that into his design someday and just see if anyone catches it.
I saw tombstones and coffins were an option. Not my taste.
One of our room requests for next week's episode is a basement fun space, a redesign, like a family fun space.
A rec room.
Yes, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah,
because I have a lot of ideas for that and a lot of tips on how to do that economically and cheaply and really get a lot of mileage out of it. It doesn't have to be one of those things where only the rich kids have a basement like that.
No.
There are so many cool things you can do on a budget. So we'll talk about some of those tips next week as well. Stacy says, I have a confused house. Well, good. Send in some pictures, Stacy.
One room at a time.
Yes.
One week at a time.
That's how we're going to do it. Just kind of room by room and any room in your house. That's how it's going to work. So please do send in. As you were saying, our creative juice this week, that's not changing.
No.
Stonehill Winery in Missouri is where this comes out of. And this was just a small little winery in 1847. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yeah.
1847. What happened was essentially Prohibition struck. This, at one time, one of the... It was the second largest winery in the United States prior to Napa. That didn't even exist yet. Okay.
Yeah.
And this brand existed that long ago. Prohibition happened. Everything kind of went away. Then around 1965, a couple bought the property where this winery was and where it sat and the outbuildings and everything that came with it. And as you can imagine, since Prohibition to 1965, little bit of wear and tear.
Oh, yeah.
Little bit of weathering. They went in, they completely revived the place, got the winery and the vineyard going once again. And today, it is, again, one of the biggest wineries in the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a neat story. Just the history, 150-year-old winery.
I want to go see it. It's not that far
away.
No,
it's in Herman, Missouri.
Mm-hmm, which is more towards the center of the state.
Yeah. So today we have the Moscato here. And a little bit later on the show, we'll be having the Schomburgen. Schomburgen. I always say Schomburgen because there's the C in there, not the S. But I say it incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
The Schomburgen, a great, both of them here grown in Missouri. But the Schomburgen, really nice for a red. I've been really, I don't know why. Or where my expectations were, but they've really been exceeded with most of the, in fact, all of the Missouri wines that we've had, the reds. I'm like, I think I like these better than some of the California wines and whatnot. And just, it's interesting. It's good. So the Moscato is what we have here first for our creative juice.
I've already had some.
Yeah. Good, chilled, sipping summer type wine. You can kind of have it on its own, have it with something kind of tropical flavors in there.
Fruity. Very good.
Very fruity and delicious. So thank you to our friends at Stonehill for being our creative juice this week as we take a look at Missouri wines. Your ideas on the rooms that we're about to talk to, feel free to leave the comments on Facebook. I'll be checking them and reading them as we go through today's episode of the program. We are in the process of wrapping up a project of ours.
It was supposed to be done today, but it just didn't get there. But I tried ambitiously to do this room in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all by myself. You helped me hang tile board mm-hmm. for the backsplash.
And I pointed a lot. I pointed.
But
and I made noises like, woo!
The shelving unit went from being on brackets to being custom mm-hmm. built piece by piece. And you got home and there's like a new cabinetry mm-hmm. piece. So it'll be done for next week.
And Jenny was kind of sitting in the corner crying with her hair over her face.
No.
And it was kind of like a horror movie. I'm like, what's going on?
When you got home, I was pretty pissed because I just realized that I made the bottom shelf too low
mm-hmm.
for something that was specifically supposed to fit,
mm-hmm.
specifically supposed to fit under this bottom shelf. Mm-hmm. And I was off. Beautiful shelf. Had to tear it out, raise it up, redo it.
The cat has a home now.
No. No, I was just mad at myself because I was doing that by myself, so I couldn't even blame it on anybody.
I was downstairs getting the show ready.
I know.
So you can't make it sound like I was doing nothing. Like,
no.
It was out back having a beer, talking to the squirrels, trying to put sweaters on them.
What I'm trying to emphasize here is that I was the one that screwed up, and I knew I was the one that screwed up, and I was most pissed about that aspect of it versus, somebody's trying to help me. We made a mistake. Learning curve. Mm-hmm. No. Jenny just screwed up.
It was a strike against you, is what you're saying. So you, and those are the worst to take.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did something that I knew better than to do, but I did it. But I redid it, got it right, and now your dehydrator fits comfortably under the shelf.
Hey, now we can make jerky.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
It was worth it for the jerky. So.
That's a good quote. Hashtag it was worth it for the jerky. There you go. I like that very much. Let's go into one of the projects that somebody wants some advice on this week. We have three rooms. We got the living room. We have an office space and also a bathroom. What would you like to touch on first?
Let's start with it's like a hall bathroom. Let's start with that.
Okay.
And let's show the before.
Yep. Let me find the before. Here we go.
There
this is our before image of the bathroom that needs a little bit of help. And we're looking at some lovely, don't you just love this? This is like late 70s tile color, isn't it? Or is it early 80s?
I'm thinking it's either late 60s, early 70s.
Is it that? I mean, would it have survived that long?
Yes, because they used to make that kind of tile thicker and better than they do now. And so, if you didn't try and take it down, it wasn't going to go anywhere.
So it kind of looks, almost, it looks like it could have been on the set of Stranger Things, where the kids are hanging out in the bathroom. And
so
it's
the tile job, it's basically a tub shower unit, but from the top of the tub up past the shower head mm-hmm. are stripes of gold and pale yellow 4x4 tiles, like two rows of gold, two rows of kind of brownish, two rows back and forth.
Wasn't that like in like a 1970s like love song by like England Dan and John Forcoli? It's like someday I'll build you a bathroom with columns of striped gold and brown. Something like that.
I have no idea.
I think it was like kind of a love song thing.
But all in all, this bathroom, you can tell they had updated everything they were comfortable updating because mm-hmm. like the tub and the toilet and the sink, they're not probably that kind of brownish gold color that they probably were in the, original phase.
Mm-hmm.
But they just didn't take it a step further.
Yeah, it looks like they did. They tried to update other parts of the bathroom with paint.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it's probably a newer faucet, but just kind of builder grade stuff. If you put a curtain up there, you could easily hide the tile, but that's kind of not the point. If you're going to do the fixer upper on this, you should probably do the fixer upper on this.
Well, and tile seems really daunting and kind of scary, mm-hmm. and it's not. It's very approachable, very doable. I wouldn't say do your first tile job in a shower. Hour, but mm-hmm. you can definitely get there.
It can be done. So I just want to say this. Growing up, we had two bathrooms. Mm-hmm. We had one downstairs and one upstairs. We only had one tub. And the tub was upstairs. And I could take a bath in it when I was a kid, but you couldn't take a shower in it. I was always told the BS story of there's no water pressure up here. I don't know why they just didn't tell me the truth where it was. There was no tile. It was just drywall around the tub.
That's not going to last.
No, it didn't. Even when I took baths, I would, you splash up there and you make waves because mm-hmm. you're a kid and you're trying to get your little play boats to sink. And the water would splash up and it would literally get, I remember the drywall breaking away from the tub, and you know, the actual tub liner, the porcelain and the wall, until eventually they said, okay, we need to do something. And then they put in that like a plastic type liner in, and now it's usable.
It's fiberglass.
Fiberglass. Yeah. Yeah. So now it's completely usable, but, it was a tub set up like this.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing. You've got to make sure it's waterproofed if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
So I could see maybe somebody ripping out the old tile, not your parents, people that had the house before, and being like, I don't know about this, and just leaving it.
But I don't know if it was ever done. I mean, the house at the time was probably like 8-9 years old. There was only one owner before them. I think it just never, that nobody ever did it. It was like, why?
There was just never going to be any chance of survival for that sheetrock.
I don't get it. I don't get what the thought process was. It's not probably, not of my parents, but the people who did it.
It's probably somebody that just,
I'm not. I
realize how it works.
It's like Kramer. It's like, I like baths, and that's it. They're like, I'm cool with this. Somebody else's problem. I'm good. So anyway, that's the before picture, and let's take a look at this. Is Jenny's design for the bathroom and how it looks after you got your hands on it.
And being that this is most likely a hall bath and not a master bath, it's going to be the bathroom that your guests are going to see. So I say go a little bold and a little fun mm-hmm. in there. You can go a lot darker on the walls if you go a lot lighter on the tile, kind of flip-flop, because you have fairly dark tile but light walls. And I would say, you know, leave anything that you can. Leave the vanity. Leave the sink. And just add the tile work above the tub mm-hmm. And leave the toilet. And those white porcelain and white, you know, fixtures are going to offset this dark wallpaper that kind of has like a brass, old brass looking sunburst on it.
I'm kind of impressed with you for using gold. You're kind of like been anti-gold color for a while, but it works really well in this room.
I'm really liking not shiny brass.
Which is what we had.
Yeah, it was almost yellow mm-hmm. when you looked at it. And I'm liking kind of the old looking hardware mm-hmm. and things like that. And there's a lot more you find available that doesn't look dated. Mm-hmm. So if it doesn't look dated, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I like the dark blue that you got going on in here. I think it really, you know, these bolder colors I love because I think people need to do more of that again. And in 10 years, everyone can look at us and go, oh, we got to make everything beige again, which it will go in. But I think the pendulum has swung back uh-huh. to, okay, let's not be afraid of color.
Well, everything swung to let's go just gray yeah. and white mm-hmm. and nothing else. And now it's kind of going back to we can have color and it can be, you know, not offensive. And it's totally fine. I'm tired. I overdid the gray. I've said that, but I'm having a lot of fun with colors now.
I am slightly offended by the blue, just a little bit.
No, you're not.
I'm offended by the color. It makes me feel offense.
When I say that,
I know.
Not everybody likes blue. Not everybody
sure.
likes red, you know? And,
sure.
And they're like, ugh. Beige, it's hard to not like beige mm-hmm. unless you just really, really prefer color. So mm-hmm. that's what I mean by that.
Stacy and Diana says, wow, nice graphics. That looks awesome. Do you think gold is coming back? Denise asks.
Yeah, it's been coming back. It's just I've kind of finally gotten my mind around using it. And after taking all the shiny 1990 brass hardware mm-hmm. off of all the doors, I still wouldn't put that back because I even tried to sandpaper that stuff to make it look like mm-hmm. the old kind of brass, and it didn't work out. It just kind of turned coppery underneath.
We even tried actually repurposing those because we had uh-huh. seen several YouTube videos about taking the brass door handles and doing a couple steps of Rust-Oleum product on it to make it like the dark, the oil rub bronze. And it looked okay. It looked good. But then there was another step, you know, you put a sealant on top to try and keep it on. And it still wore mm-hmm. really, really fast. Like after a couple of weeks, you could start to see the gold coming through again.
It would work on a knob that you're not going to use very often, like mm-hmm. I don't know, a guest bedroom or something like that. But the one we tried, we knew we were going to use pretty often, was on our bathroom door from our bedroom to our bathroom. Mm-hmm. And it didn't last very long at all. So I wouldn't recommend doing that.
It was worth a shot.
It was. I was going to be really happy and save quite a bit on, you know, hardware if it did work. But I was going to end up replacing it anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was an attempt that was made to repurpose something. Unfortunately, not all of those work out. But hey, you got to try.
you got to try.
You do. So there you go. That's the bathroom.
And you did not get to do
that. I did not get a chance to go to the bathroom.
Okay. Yeah. We just have the one graphic for the bathroom.
I like to say that sentence because I thought it was kind of fun. Okay. Our next space, let's go to an office, home office. And this is, you know, a home office, probably in a bedroom of some sort, and cabinets galore. And maybe that this is needed. I don't know. The cabinets that are in this space are very out of place. They're like almost, you know, workplace built-in cabinets, it look like, from maybe some office somewhere, and then we're transported here.
I'd be willing to bet that they're not as essential as these people that have this room think.
Okay.
Because that is just so much storage. And I believe this room has a closet anyway.
Yeah.
I'm betting that this was something somebody else did, and it's just such a monstrosity. It's like, I'm not going to move it unless I have to.
It's almost like wooden gym lockers in a wall of it. It's huge. Yeah. It takes up an entire wall larger than the desk. And then you have kind of your classic L-shaped wooden computer desk that, you know, it was kind of cool in 1994 when you had all you know, the giant computer monitors and everything on it. Office chair circa 94. And then there's like a second, like,
it's kinda, a roll top desk in front of the window.
Desked out. Mm-hmm. And then you got your window with the curtain on it. And there's something else behind the computer monitor I can't quite make out. It looks like a dumping room.
Another desk. Let's be honest. It does not look like work's been done at this desk in a long time.
Yeah.
And everything just goes in this room and the door is shut.
Mm-hmm. Whereas my office is like that, but I actually do work in there.
Most of the stuff that gets dumped in there is your stuff.
I know. It's where I open boxes. It's where I open mail, and then boxes sit in there until I move them out.
Yeah.
A lot of times Harper likes to play in them and pretend they're boats.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I kind of feel bad getting rid of boxes because I'm like to hoard. But that's what we have here in this office. It looks like it could be a nice office space. It really is. It's a good space for a home office if used correctly.
Right.
That's the thing. How do you get this thing to look good? You want me to jump in with my?
You go first.
My suggestion first. Okay, so I will pull up my office space, and here is how I would change it up. So I made these kind of not quite 90s green walls, but a little more funner, brighter tone to almost like a forest. And I understand they probably need some space here, so I did create some cabinetry, but it's sensible cabinetry for the room. A lot of baskets, nice little storage space there, where on top of it you can put your TV. And if you notice on the other side of that, on the other wall, you can't really make it out here in the graphic, but on the opposite side is a mirror that goes above this couch that's sitting in here. Because I really downsized the desk back to the corner. I think that can really work.
Uh-huh.
I've learned to downsize in the amount of stuff I have on my desk. I believe in that. The smaller the desk, the more, you know, priority you have to put on it to what you're going to be using with it. But the other side of the room, you have a mirror on the wall. So if you're sitting at your desk, you can't really see the TV very well because it's more so for people sitting on the couch, whether it be guests, clients, whatever. But if you look in the mirror, you can catch the TV.
That's very smart.
So you can have it on during the day if you want and still watch it, but it's not like just shining down on you and being a real, you know, monstrosity right there because it is a pretty big TV. Really fun light fixture I have in there. It's one of those that hangs the Edison bulbs from strings. It all kind of comes out of the center chandelier point, and then it all just kind of hangs down, loops back around. It's just kind of a fun lighting piece in there. A little bit of a shelving unit hanging on a neat accent back wall that is all rock, and I like that. It's kind of the focal point. You walk into the room, big rock wall, just kind of it stands out.
And that sounds like something you have to go and hire a contractor for, but it's not at all.
No.
In fact, we're going to rock a fireplace within the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm.
And we'll show you how.
That. Yeah.
So that's that. I have a fun poster on the wall right by where the desk is, kind of just a retro, you know, vacationish type poster. You can look over there and go, oh, someday, whatever. but it's just, it kind of plays, you know, it's a manly office. It is supposed to be a man's office, but it still has a lot of kind of fun, bright colors going on in it. And here's the before and after. So you can see, the two, if you're watching the video on YouTube or on our website, your thoughts?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. It's very cozy. I like your accent wall.
And I dumped the carpet too. And I just went with it can be a vinyl plank. It can be a peel or a click.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever you really want. And just kind of a brown hardwood look floor to it. Whatever the budget is can really determine what type of planking you have.
Oh, absolutely. You can find a wood look in any budget.
Because there's so many variants now to that.
And it's so funny because it's kind of changed. The pendulum's kind of swung the opposite way. Yeah. And now you can get real wood almost cheaper than you can get some of the faux wood products. And it's just like, it's kind of mind boggling to somebody who had worked in flooring for so long.
That's crazy.
To see that happen.
It's like, oh, well, you know, everybody really likes the Geo Metros now. So guess what? Mercedes, now they're less than that. You know, maybe that'll happen.
It's the thought of maintenance free versus I'm going to have to watch this, be careful, you know, but I like a good distressed wood floor. I'm fine with it.
Sure.
Sand it down in 20 years if you want to.
Yeah. That's my take on this room. Let's jump over and see your take on the confused office that we have here. Let me pull it up. Where is it? Is it right?
It's right there.
Okay. That's the still. Here is Jenny's take on the office. And you want to describe what you got going on here with it?
I too did an accent wall where the window is, but I did a planked accent wall with varying different shades of wood. I went really dark on the walls. The picture shows them almost a chocolate brown. The color is black fox, and I've used that around. It's a Sherwin-Williams color, and I've used that around our house, and I really like it. It's slightly warmer than black, but it very much holds that spot where you look at it and you, oh, it's black. And the reason I did that, we did that in one of our rooms in kind of a flat finish, and it just has a real warm, fuzzy look to it. And I just love that. Again, being a masculine space, I chose to do the black fox on all the walls, but I went lighter with some of the accents and the furniture, and more open, not so heavy and wood. The desk is actually an industrial style, so it's kind of got just the wood top with metal legs. You can see through it. Console table across from the desk with a TV above it is just metal with glass. Again, kind of giving a lighter weight to the furniture. I did stick in there instead of a sofa, I just thought a comfortable reading chair in the corner by the window, went with brown leather, something very kind of masculine with one of those fun, looks like the spotlights that's on the tripod. Added some greenery just so you don't feel like you're in this kind of sterile box. And then instead of having a lot of cabinetry, I went with open shelving, because if you got things that are neat, like, you know, books and special items, show them off. Don't just stick them in a cabinet. And I went with a wood look on the floor, but I also put a rug in there just so there's something that will absorb the sound, so it doesn't have such a echoey
feel. Sound. Feel,
yeah.
Yeah. See, I like the echo. I like it kind of feeling creepy. And no, actually, I just didn't put a rug down, but that I probably would. If I were to get into that office, I'd be like, okay, it's good. Needs a rug.
Sure.
Because my last office, actually, almost similar to what you did here.
It was my inspiration.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I had that same back wall type.
Which I kind of did.
Sure.
Kind of designed for you.
Sure. So. And the paint colors were a little lighter, but they were on the brown side. And we had a platform that was up there, and that's where we had the studio area. And there was some carpet there, and that did do a good job. And we did have sound paneling as well.
We did. And
there was a rug too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also put in a oversized map. And, you know, that's one of those things that if you can find it online, you can go and have at, I'm not sure if Staples still does it, but some of the places where you go and have prints done, you can have these engineer prints done, and they will print out just, huge. And it may take a couple for something the size of this picture. This picture is probably, 7 foot wide, but it'd probably take a couple of them, and you can put them together on a canvas or mount them somehow on a board and hang it. Mm-hmm. And there you have artwork really reasonably.
Yeah. As opposed to going to like the canvas printing company. I don't think they make one that large that they'd even, send
they
to you.
They do a good job, but I wanted something so oversized and it would normally be really expensive to do that.
Sure. And that would really stand out and it really kind of be a neat focal point in the office. So there you go. I like that. Which office did you like best? Leave it in the comment sections. No one's feelings will be hurt, although one of us will end up crying in the corner. So let me know, and I'll watch that, and I'll let you know as the votes come in.
Okay.
This is where we need the music from America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, no.
Do.
I knew you were going to do that.
Do. I'm not going to stop till it's done.
No, you need to stop right now. Do. You need to stop.
And it goes to a commercial. And then everybody's waiting in anticipation for Bob Saget to come back and tell us who America's Funniest Home Video was that week.
That really dates us, because it's been that other guy forever now.
I think it's even a different guy now, isn't it? Because I know who you're talking about, but I think someone else hosts the show. Because I was flipping around the other day and was like, oh, shit, that's not that other guy.
Yeah.
Everyone is the other guy now since it's not Bob Saget. But they should bring that one back, too, just like Full House or Fuller House.
I think AFE's still on.
It is, but I'm saying bring Bob Saget back into it, just for the sake of
he's
retroness.
Off touring, telling really bad jokes that are great.
They should do it like an HBO version of America's Funniest Home Videos and have him host
that
it.
That would be hilarious.
And it's just horribly inappropriate comments.
That would be so funny.
I would totally watch that.
I would too.
It would be everything he's ever wanted to say. Mm-hmm. Oh my, that would be great. That would be a great television show. Okay, we have one last room here today to take a look at, and this is a living space, a living room. Here is the before image of that, and it's just kind of a big old giant living space. It's got, what would you say, kind of ash dark wood floor?
It's kind of
zebra-ish.
A gray-brown. Well, I'm sure what they picked out the plank, they looked at one plank and didn't realize that pattern was going to repeat, because I'd be willing to bet this is a laminate or a vinyl floor.
Sure.
And you have to be careful on that, because your patterns will repeat. And if you don't look at two or three, even four planks together, you might not notice it's going to look striped. Mm-hmm. And that was the case here. The kind of weathering that they did in the center of the plank and the dark on the edge, when you get enough planks together, it just looks kind of like dark gray, light gray, dark gray, light gray.
Yeah. And that's exactly why you need to do that and take a look at how they're coming out, because there's like, what, four or five variations of it in the package, if that?
Yeah. And the thing is, you need to, if you're going to change your flooring, I always advise buy one carton. Mm-hmm. One carton is usually not very expensive. It's a lot cheaper than putting something down and realizing you're hating it.
Yeah.
And kind of lay it out and see if you still like the feel or not. And most of the big box stores where most people are going to shop, they will take that carton back. They don't have a minimum on a return. Mm-hmm. So it's worth the time to do that, just so you don't have this here.
Yeah. Otherwise, this is what you could end up with. And the other thing that was odd about this room, and this is, it's not unique to this room, but it's something that I don't know why the hell this was done in so many homes. Mm-hmm. The door, right by the door, there's that little wall that comes out about 3 feet, makes a tiny little hallway. There's no closet there. It's just a divider wall. Why? What was the point of that?
I think it was for privacy. So from when somebody came to the door and you answered the door, they couldn't look in and see what all's going on in the room.
Like, or oh my God,
if your house is a mess or any of that. But everybody is so into open concept now. That's not so much a concern. People want to be able to see to the back, all the way to the back of the house from the front door.
This is not good if you're a serial killer or a murderer and you're doing things in your house you shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because you probably want the wall then, because mm-hmm. it's like, what's that screaming? Nothing, nothing. And they're trying to like peek into the door to see. It's like, there's a wall. You can't see anything. I didn't do that open concept stuff.
So.
And then they slammed the door on the children delivering cookies.
I have no words at this point. And I don't think there's enough wine here on the desk.
There is. Would you like some more? Wait, should slam
I'll
that.
Take some more white. I'm not going to slam this.
I'm pouring red right now.
Oh, okay. Well, let me finish my white.
Okay, finish your white and then have some Schomburson.
They went with kind of an ashy gray floor, and then the walls are very much a gray.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is a little too monochromatic.
Yeah.
And this picture happens to show an empty room. I don't know if maybe they were wanting some ideas before they went and, you know, took a stab at it. But let's show yours first.
You want to see mine first?
Yeah.
Okay, here's mine first. The request was for a modern design, so I went really kind of what I felt was modern for a design. And, you know, it's a little bit colder than my own taste would go, but it's fairly modern. The one thing I did would add in was some beams across, three beams kind of evenly spaced across the whole room. And it really works well for some of the kind of cool modern industrialist lighting that you'll see here. It's, again, some of the hanging Edison bulbs on one and the other kind of a neat rectangle piece that has Edison bulbs in it. A lot of straight lines, a lot of boxes, very open with the couch. Just how would you describe kind of the living area in there?
I would say modern minimalist, but okay. You added some warmth to it with your wood tones and some of the textures. You did a very neutral, still calming color palette, but mm-hmm. you went lighter with the walls. I did that as well. Mm-hmm. And you go kind of the white or very, very off-white. Mm-hmm. It gives a very modern feel. And especially with black accents makes those pop. But I'm proud of you. I haven't figured out how to do beams yet. Otherwise, I'd have beams in everything. There'd be beams in the bathroom.
I have beams.
You got beams.
Beams are awesome. So a lot of grays. A lot of, you know, there's some beiges on the furniture. Beige, black, and gray, really. But they all are different colors. The accent chairs by the window are black. The couch is kind of a beige. It's a warmer tone. It's probably the warmest piece of furniture in the room. And it's an L-shaped piece with kind mm-hmm. of a, is it the chaise lounge, right?
Uh-huh.
At the end of it. And then the dining set, it's a glass tabletop, just rectangle set. And basically basic L-shaped chairs. They're just kind of gray-ish in tone.
And so we both got rid of the serial killer wall, too.
Yeah, serial killer wall is gone. I did add a pop of color in there. I added a nice big piece of red artwork on the edge. And this is obviously just some sort of stock piece of artwork that I'm using for the example. But the thing is, I would use some piece of color there. I like red. I think the red works mm-hmm. with this whole palette. So I'd probably do something over in that corner of that nature. You know, after I did that and I discovered some other neat kind of retro paintings, I would probably go with almost like, you know, again, almost like I used in the other room, kind of a 1960s travel type art piece, like a commercial piece over there. I think that would look pretty nice. And my accent piece in the living area here, because we have your couch, your lounge area, and then a small little dining area in back. The big accent piece right behind everything is actually tin tile. I lined the wall in back there with tin tile because I love that look.
Yeah.
The same type of ceiling tile you'd have at the old dime stores mm-hmm. and stuff downtown. And there's not a way to do it in our design program, but there's a really cool effect I saw with tin tile years ago at a store that I used to frequent. And they took the tin tile that was on a wall. And I love the idea. And it was like one giant piece. And so I don't know how you even find that these days, because it was a real piece from mm-hmm. a real ceiling. And then they peeled back the top corner and rusted it. And it made it look like it was almost coming off the wall.
That's
it was
cool.
Before that was even a thing.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, that's really awesome. But I always thought that the tin tile is a neat thing to do for an accent wall, something other than brick, something other than wood. Not used all that often, other than you see it in kitchens sometimes. But
for backsplash.
Yeah, but I could totally see it being used in more places than that if done correctly.
And now with tin tiles, you know, they were used on ceilings and old buildings, mm-hmm. For the most part, and you find them at flea markets and different antique stores, and they're pretty reasonable. You just have to be careful where you're using an actual old tin tile, because most of those are painted with lead paint.
Yeah.
And you just want to make sure it's not something that one of the kids is going to touch. If it's just hanging on the wall, it's probably fine. Mm-hmm. But you can get at the hardware store, pick your hardware store, you can get the plastic version and cut it to the size mm-hmm. that you want, and then do a texture to it of like chipping paint, or you can use the rust paint or anything like that to make it look like an old one, but it's actually the plastic version.
Yeah, and that's the neat thing. You don't have to you know, search, you know, high and low to find these tiles. Because
sure.
it is difficult to find a lot of these tiles that match. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll get to an antique store and it's like, ooh, tin tiles. And they have a whole stack of them, but they're all different designs.
Which is kind of cool in itself.
Depending on what you're doing.
Right.
If you're wanting, you know, uniform look across a wall or something like this, all the different tiles may not be what you want, unless that's the look you want. They could be. But if you're going for uniformity, that can be a very difficult thing, unless you're literally buying or renting out the old dime store that's sitting there. And that's an interesting thought of, hey, can I rent this place for a month? You mind if I rip it out and renovate it a little bit? Sure. Okay, you pay rent for the month and you rip that stuff out. Okay, I'm done. Thank you. Goodbye.
I think they would catch on to that.
Well, I wonder some of that, though, if you have, if you could make a deal with some of those places that are just sitting there not making any income, not getting any rent, although I'm sure they've probably already been hit up by architectural people by now, of saying, hey, can I go in and get this from you? But I think that may be the selling point to some of them now.
I think most landlords or building owners that realize mm-hmm. they have an intact tin tile ceiling, they're not going to let you touch it for nothing.
Yeah. And there's probably also laws against that now where it's like it would probably require hazmat crews and everything.
And it probably violates some historical thing for the building, you know.
Allison says, I renovated a kitchen from 1912.
Oh, wow.
We found a place that sells tin tiles in Canada. Great quality and great price. And she's been listening to us for 8 hours straight at work today. We're basically family at this point.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Allison. I'm glad you could join us for this show. When you got enough ghosts, now you have this, so we can be everything for you tonight. Chris is watching from Denver. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
my Aunt Chris is watching us from Denver tonight. I mean, I love the tin tile look. I thought it'd be kind of a fun accent.
Oh, yeah, that was a great idea.
Should we go and show your take on the room? I got to get better at knowing where my files are. I think this is you.
There's
okay.
me.
Let's take a look at Jenny's take.
Okay. I added a lot more lighting in this room because it seemed like from the picture during the day, it just seemed really kind of dark. And I think it was probably the flooring and the walls, but you can always add recessed lighting and put it on a dimmer switch. And, you know, you have it as bright or as dim as you want. Mm-hmm. I, too, went light on the walls. I just went with a plain white and white trim. So there's really no definition between, you know, your door frames and your windows. And went with more of a blue tone and kind of black tone color palette. Mm-hmm. So the fireplace is a tile that actually looks like a distressed wood that's got the chippy paint on it, but mm-hmm. it's a blue version. And I made it to where the TV goes above the fireplace because I envision this being for maybe a younger family.
Sure.
And had two sofas facing each other, and I just went with a white sofa, but I would actually envision for a family like a white slip covered sofa. And I know a lot of moms are hesitant to do that, mm-hmm. but if you get a slip covered sofa, you can pop that in the washer and bleach it and put it back on, and it's like new couch every time. And I added, you know, color through the accessories, like through the pillows, through the rugs. The chairs at the dining room are kind of a navy blue, and there's kind of a tribal print rug under the living, the coffee table and the couch and the whole living space. And I define the areas between where the eating space is and the living space by two different rugs, because this room is really, really large. And I think area rugs are great not only to help kind of deaden sound, but also to define a space.
Mm-hmm. I had some trouble when I was doing this room because I got the living space done with uh-huh. the couch and the chairs. And there's this whole other back space. It's like, okay, what do I do there? And I had to fight off my urges of like being a guy and being like a pool table in a bar,
yeah,
arcade machine. It's like, probably a dining set of some sort where it doesn't necessarily, I mean, it's not set up as a formal dining, mm-hmm. but it's a nice place if you're going to entertain. You can be out there, or if you're just going to do some work in the living room with the kids. And maybe, you know, this is the only dining space, you know, or technically place where it could be formal, maybe in the kitchen, because I have no idea what the rest of the house looks like. But there could be, you know, maybe just like kind of a breakfast bar area. Mm-hmm. And then maybe this technically would be more of the formal dining space.
And there's only so much we can get footprint wise from a photo, but we did the best we could with mm-hmm. the angle that we were given.
Exactly.
And I too took out the serial killer wall.
You like that, don't you?
I like it being gone.
You like the idea of preventing a serial killer from the next design. You're going to put a wall up.
No.
You're going to be like, and I put a serial killer wall up. Because Tony made me really paranoid on the last design episode that we did.
One of the things that I'm kind of dealing with right now with our family is the family drop zone. So I wanted to add they call it a hall tree. It's not the hall tree of our childhood that you hang hats on and it's round and tall and would topple over easily. This actually is like a piece of furniture it looks like a built-in, but it's tall. It has some hooks on it, but it's flat against the wall, and it mm-hmm. has a bench that comes out for shoe storage. And I put that on one of the walls right by the front door, in between the front door and the entrance to the hallway. And I thought, you know, that might be a good catch-all. You're less likely to chase shoes around the house if they're dropped where they're supposed to from the get-go.
Lisa says hello from Ohio. Love your ideas. So how dangerous were our whole trees? What did we have? What were we talking like? What was it?
It was like a coat rack. It was a tall, round coat rack thing.
Like just and it kinda, a stick?
No, it like had a base and then it got real narrow. It went up and you could put everything on it from umbrellas to hats. And then it kind of had like the crown shaped top to it. I know you've seen them in 80s homes. It was like standard.
How many children were impaled by these things?
No, they weren't impaled, but my brother pulled it over on himself several times. And I'm sure that he was not the only kid that used that to pull up on because there was like a kind of a round bar almost to hold some mm-hmm. things like umbrellas in.
Okay.
If you pulled on it, it would topple right over.
Sure.
So
they didn't care about those things back then. We like secure everything to the wall.
Well, and it wasn't a heavy thing, but it was just a pain in the butt.
Sure.
I like the hall trees now. They look like a wall treatment with a bench.
Did you ever pull a piece of furniture over on you?
You know, I honestly don't know that I have. And if I did, I would share because I'm very open about my klutziness. Mm-hmm. But I can't think of ever doing that.
I think I pulled my dresser on me once.
Yeah.
And it just kind of tipped, you know, I mean, it went on me, but it was, I think like my bed stopped it from crushing me.
Uh-huh.
And I was big enough where I wasn't like a toddler where it was going to kill me. I was probably like 8 or 9. And I don't know why, if I was like just pulling on it. I think I had like all the drawers open or something and it just slowly, I wasn't climbing it. I knew not to do that, but all the drawers were just kind of eventually very slowly just kind of, and then before you know it, it's coming down on you. Gerbil on top of it and all.
Oh God.
Hamster case. And then that lovely
cedar
bedding spread everywhere like New Year's Eve confetti on my floor.
Oh, and your room smelled like pee for a week.
It smelled like that anyhow, but actually it didn't. We when we first moved into that house, it did because the former owners had dogs that I don't think used the outside for their bathrooms. So a lot of they had like their favorite rooms. And I think my room was one of them. And we did replace the carpet in that room fairly quickly.
I bet.
It was like one of the first to go, one of the first to get replaced. I do believe the carpet in my parents' room is still the same. But that one, that room, I don't think the dogs frequented it. It never smelled there.
They probably just, you know, animals like to go away mm-hmm. from you to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
Kind of like people do.
Mm-hmm. So it was, they went away. But I think they replaced carpet in every room in that house now, but I think that's the one room that it's still the same.
Yeah.
It's like stepping a little bit back in time. It's kind of fun. She's got the old TV up there that's like giant. And I think a VCR as well. I could be wrong, but I know she recently, I think she was mad because, well, I know she used to tape As the World Turns, but that went off the air. Sure. So no more use for a VCR anymore.
You poor mom, you're sharing all her secrets.
And this is, you know, the last 5 years. But I don't believe she uses VCR tapes anymore. I don't think so. But I've yet to convince them to get a DVR. I've tried to explain how wonderful it is and good. But keep in mind, they got a CD player in probably about 2005.
But I think their cable box does that.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't have...
It does on demand, technically. But you can't DVR anything. So maybe, you know, maybe you get a point. Maybe they're actually skipping something. Because I think the DVR thing is going to be like kind of a thing of the past within 2 or 3 years as everything is on demand. Uh-huh. So you really won't need to like set your recording time. It'll just be there on demand.
No, because they go and they pick their shows out and they... Cause I saw them do this when we were there. They go and they, you know, like anybody, they... go to the menu and they pick the show and you can pick the episode.
On demand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're not, they skipped the DVR.
Well, why DVR it when they're all right there?
You don't need it. I mean, but they never got the
joy
of it.
You're the one that's behind.
No, I do the on demand.
You're the one that's behind. Your parents are up on you on this. They're like, what's the point?
I've done the on demand. They've skipped a whole step. It's like going from 8 tracks to CDs.
Uh-huh.
And never doing cassettes. It's skipping one of the,
Is it a rite of passage thing?
It is. It's an integral rite of technological passage. You don't quite grasp how wonderful on demand is unless you've had the DVR. And like, oh, I used to have to, now I can just do this.
I think you appreciate it more when you're going straight from recording on a VCR.
Yeah, you're probably right. But anyway. One of these days, I'm just going to go there. They're going to have like all the latest technology and stuff I've never heard of. And they'll be like, what's up? And they'll be like texting things to their friends on like apps that I've never heard of that like only like 12-year-olds use. And they'll be like, no, we've been talking to the kids on this for like weeks, you know, like, what? You know, just wait. They'll be wearing their hats like kind of cross sideways, the brim kind of off to the side. Do kids do that anymore? Is that a
no.
thing? That
no,
died?
That died.
You know what I'm so happy died as a trend? The I'm wearing my pants halfway down my legs and my underwear is hanging out. I never, ever understood that. Even when people our age were doing it when we were like in our 20s, mm-hmm. because it was still a thing. Like, you know, 10 years ago, it was like, you know, we were in our early 20s and there was people our age doing that.
Right.
And it's like, what the hell?
I haven't noticed that lately, but I attributed that to us moving someplace where we're in a town that is significantly smaller, like a lot smaller. And
everybody
here wears their Wranglers that, you know, with their boots. And it's just like, I kind of just thought maybe it was because we weren't in a large city anymore that maybe everybody was kind of,
I don't know, maybe that's it. Maybe that is it. A friend of mine, I can name a couple of friends of mine who were doing that, and I would tease them about it.
You had a pair of those in your closet.
I never wore them, but
I
got those in like 1999.
And they were there when we cleaned out your closet after we got engaged. And you made room for my stuff.
But those were not the ones you would wear halfway down. Those were just the baggy, because you used to wear those where it was around your waist.
You could
but they make... They were giant. They were the baggy
you
pants.
You could have made 2 pencil skirts out of each leg.
But that's a totally different style. And that was like late 90s. I'm talking the ones where like it was that style.
Yeah.
But the pants were like almost to the knees.
Well, I remember that because that was something nobody needed to see.
The trend is not dead. Saw a guy at the car wash last weekend with his pants hanging off and his tighty whitey sticking out.
Oh,
man,
gosh.
Bun too. Wow. Well, maybe she's right. Maybe it's just one of those guys that used to do it that I worked with. Left radio, went to school, is now an attorney. I hope to God he's not going into courtrooms like that. Like, here's my client, you know.
I'm sure he's not.
It's like the young Saul Goodman or something.
No.
of today. Dustin says, JNCO. That's kind of the style, but I believe the one I had, Dustin, was like a knockoff. It was not.
That's what you called them, though.
There was a brand.
Because I never heard of that before. And I was like, what is this?
It was the brand name.
You learn a lot about your fiance when you guys clean out a closet together for the first time. You see what fashion trends have gone to die in
or their, never their picked clothing. Up. Like, I remember buying those one day. I think I bought those at a TJ Maxx.
Yep. Yes.
And I was like, yeah, maybe I'll wear them, like, because I was in Top 40 Radio. And, you know, that was, you know, kind of the trend at the moment. And sometimes you have to go out and do your stupid, you know, club gigs and make appearances. And it's like, I never could quite get myself, though, to dress the part. I would still just kind of be like, nah, no. I thought maybe one day I'll will myself to do it. And I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't. But they were there just in case.
Yeah.
I decided to have a psychotic break and go all out and be the alter ego of myself.
Yeah. Okay.
So there you go. There you go. Just in case. We should have saved them for the kids in case they ever want to wear them someday. If the trend ever comes back or they want to, you know, they're into the 80s right now. I could totally see that being.
That's not from the 80s.
I know, but I could see them moving up a generation in 10 years. Be like, I love the 90s. It's like, daddy's got some pants for you.
No, that's just wrong. Nobody should hear that.
That sounds horrible.
It does.
I never wore these. I got these at a TJ Maxx in 99.
Oh, geez.
They're all yours. Merry Christmas. So, there you go. We learned some new things tonight.
Yeah.
All right. If you have a space or a place you would like us to do a redesign on, send it to us right now. Send it through our Facebook page and I will get it that way until we have the website up and running. Once the website's up, it'll be a very easy form. You can just attach it, click send, and boom, we got it. You can do the same thing on Facebook too. So do that for now.
Yeah. Be one of the first to get in on this.
Yeah.
And you'll get at least two options. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get close to what you find is the right fit.
Be a lot of fun because there's like a lot of websites that charge a lot of money to do this. So.
Yeah, we just want the experience right now of using the software.
Yeah, so check it out, send it into us, and we'll get that on a future episode of the program. Please do send it in through our Facebook page, which is, as of this moment, Junkin' with Jenny. It may be changing by the time you watch it under Confused Room. One of the two. It will all be converting in the coming weeks, so be aware of that. And we'll be here again next Thursday night, 8 o'clock Central. Thank you guys for watching this episode. Bye-bye. Bye.